Time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all your listeners, or our listeners, I should say, at this time.
Yes, I share them.
Thank you. Yes, well, another beautiful day here, Peter. We've had some absolutely gorgeous days. They were predicting 26 the other day. I don't think we quite made it, but it was quite warm. It's been in the 20s to 25s. And as I was mentioning before we went on air, we had a meeting yesterday, a business meeting, and we were outside for, excuse me, over 3 hours, probably 4 hours altogether. Beautiful, sat out there in the sun. And we had four people, and two decided to sit with their backs in the sun, and two decided to sit in the shade. So that sort of tells you what the weather was like.
So. Yes, so hot and cold.
Yes, well, that round table, as you know, we have the Knights of the Round Table here, a 10-seater, great big jar of hardwood outdoor table.
Which is brilliant.
It is, yes, and it's great for meetings with large people because they can all sort of eye each other off. But we had only four yesterday, plus Bob and I. So, but yeah, it's great because we have a huge umbrella above it. It's supposed to be good for 100 kilometers an hour. Then we have it pretty well tied down just in case. But we're able to move the table no matter where the sun is, as long as you got several people. It weighs half a ton. you can move the table so that half of it's in the shade and half of it's in the sun. So
it's morning exercise, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Anyway, it is. It's beautiful weather, and it's great to visit. We've had a lot of people call and say they're coming. I think people know that the weather's getting better, and you know that it's a really pleasant visit. And there was an article in the paper the other day. I don't know if you saw it, but they say that a visit to a nice city park raises the same endorphins and feeling of goodwill in a person as Christmas does. I found it a bit hard to believe. But
yeah, I wonder what the park's going to give me.
Yeah, walk in a nice city park, and the effect lasts for 4 hours, Peter. So we should all start our day by walking in the local city park.
Yeah, I don't know if you can avoid the rubbish.
Yeah. No, it raises the level of euphoria. Oh. Maybe a walk in the park before you go to work and a walk in the park at lunchtime. And instead of getting, you know, surly look from everybody, you would be, Bob's birthday promotion. Okay, Bob just gave me a note, but I'll talk about it in a moment. But yeah, raise your level of euphoria, Peter. You know, so when you go into a store, you don't get a sourpuss look from, you know, half the people that you get the sourpuss look from.
Yeah, isn't it incredible the number of alleged assistants have that sourpuss approach? And it's a real shame because it 9 times out of 10, particularly the girls, they are very, very attractive. And, you know, it's, yes, yep. You're right. I said, no, I'm Peter, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, it's it is. So anyway, that's that was in the paper. Listen, Peter, following on from what we talked about last week, there was another article in the paper this morning. You're not going to believe this one, or it was actually in the medical journals, that the healthiest food, and I got to sort of tell you right up front, they're talking about packaged food in the world, is England. So they're never known for their food in the good old UK, but their packaged food is healthier. They rated the world's packaged foods with the star rating. You know, the five-star rating we have, it was developed in Australia, the five-star rating, to tell you whether food is rubbish or whether it's a little bit better. The top country was England.
That's amazing.
Yeah, top rated. And it was an Australian out of University of South Australia, I think, South Australian or Adelaide University, or one of those that did the study. The United States was number two and Australia was number three.
Yeah, we got to lift our game then.
Yeah, exactly, in packaged food. Now, we know from the show last week, Peter, the packaged food kills you anyway, so...
Well, I keep saying, stop eating the carton.
Exactly. it's not packaged food, it's processed food. But unfortunately, a lot of packaged food is processed. Not very much fresh food ends up in packaging. No. Because they put a lot of salt and nitrites, and depends what it is, meats, or and they put a lot of preservative and all sorts of other things into packaged foods. But here's the worst part about the UK. While I was reading that article, I noticed off to the side there was another little article. England, the average citizen in England eats four times as much packaged food as they do fresh food.
Yeah.
And you remember when we were talking about processed food, your likelihood of coronary disease goes up 10 to 13%. Mm-hmm. For every 10% increase in processed foods, Peter, and they're eating 80% packaged foods.
My God. It's incredible. I'll tell you what I saw. It's amazing how little headlines come up on TV. But apparently the Heart Foundation now has endorsed, wait for this, a full-fat diet.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, like it's... If you get low cholesterol, like low density cholesterol, it is good for you, good for your health, good for your heart. But you got to get low density. High density is no good for you. So
right.
I believe I got that around the right way. So, yeah, it's you got to look where the information comes from. If it comes from the actual institution itself, then you have to pay attention. You know, if it comes from somebody, you know, that's got this fad diet, then you have to worry about it. Look, I've seen so many fad diets come and go, Peter. And, they were like really popular for 2 or 3 years, 5 years, you know, and then you never hear about them again.
Yeah. You know what? When I read that headline this morning or that little brief, yeah. I thought to myself, well, maybe Grandma had it right. You know, I mean, people were healthy, all right, they died a little earlier, but what do we do now? We die later and we've got all this medication and everything else we've got to shove down our neck.
Well, that's right. Medical science is increasing longevity for sure. You know, I think like when we were young, I never liked the taste of fat, but 50% of the population does. Mm. And that's a serious issue because, you know, they'll eat fat like they eat meat, whereas I meticulously cut it out because I just do not like the taste.
Yeah, I must admit I agree with that.
Yeah, but see, in the old days, you just cook everything in fat and people worked hard. 90% of the people worked on the land, and you know, and they burnt a lot of this off. But unfortunately, only 10% of the people work on the land now, Peter. Anyway, it was an interesting article. There was something else interesting in the paper this morning. Did you see that India has put a satellite in orbit around the moon, and in early September they're going to land and collect samples?
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yes, and they're going to return those samples to the Earth. So India has joined Russia and the United States and China, as they will have joined as the only countries with a lunar landing in early September. So Peter, we're going to have to reevaluate our assessment, I think, of what a third world country is and what a third world country isn't.
Yes, I agree.
We're definitely heading to third world in Australia, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. But if you look, for example, India is going to have bullet trains to 2022, I think it's scheduled. They have the largest rail system in the world. They just put a satellite on the moon. It'll be 500 years before Australia does that, and it'll probably be, you know, the end of the world before Australia gets a bullet train, Peter.
Yeah, it's beginning to be a bit like that. You know, it's about as efficient as our internet.
Yes, it's very worrying because in the 1960s, 30% of the Australian economy was manufacturing. And now, today, it's about 6%. And so I did a little research, Peter, and it's hidden in gobbledygook, because most people, and particularly the Australian government, report it as the industrial sector. And it shows Australia's industrial sector is 30% of the economy, gross domestic product. It's about 26%, I think, or 28%. But Peter, that's us digging up coal and oil and shipping it overseas and minerals and everything. The actual, if you search deep enough, you can find World Bank figures, and we find our economy is only 6% manufacturing contribution to the GDP. That puts us level with Tonga, Samoa, Jamaica, almost any little tropical banana island has the same manufacturing sector. Most industrial countries, like even New Zealand and England and France, and they're between 2 and 4 times the manufacturing sector contribution to GDP that we are. And in good manufacturing economies like Japan and Germany, countries that have equivalent standards of living as Australia does, they have 5 times the manufacturing sector that Australia has.
It's about time we get our act together, don't you reckon?
It is. Look, Peter, when the coal and the oil runs out, I don't think we're going to have enough bananas to export to keep the economy going.
Probably not, because people keep on telling us where to put them.
So I think we've got a serious issue here. Even New Zealand's manufacturing sector, as a percentage of economy, is twice what ours is.
Yeah, well, we keep on shipping everything overseas.
Well, I think we've legislated ourselves out of business in the manufacturing sector, Peter. Yeah. And now they're starting on the farming sector. If you've ever seen the government regulations about farm employment, they tell you how much the guy, every single person on every single job on every single farm must earn. Mm. And now they have a new system, Peter. It's called, one-touch payroll. As of July 1st, every company in Australia, no matter how big or small, must be linked by computer to the government. And when you pay that employee, the tax that you deduct goes directly to the government from your bank account instantaneously.
Yeah.
There is no more, reporting monthly or reporting quarterly. Everybody in Australia is linked to the tax office now, and when every employee is paid, that money goes directly to the employee and the tax goes directly to the government.
So they don't have to wait 24 hours for it to turn over?
Well, the companies reported monthly or they reported quarterly.
That's right.
And they paid monthly and quarterly. Now you're paying instantaneously. Government, and brilliant from the government's point of view, they increased their working capital probably $5 billion overnight.
Yeah.
With a stroke of a pen. But anyway, back to this GDP thing, Peter. It's very concerning because we have no manufacturing sector at all. We are, along with the banana republics. In fact, some of them, higher. Tonga's higher than us. Samoa's higher than us. Fiji's twice what we are in manufacturing versus, percentage of their GDP. And we're amongst the worst performers in the world because we no longer have. And that's happened in 50 years, gone from 30% of the jobs, the real creation. There's no real economy creation digging up coal and shipping it overseas. When you manufacture something, you're contributing to the economy, in my mind. When you dig up coal and you ship it overseas, all you're doing is digging a hole. And probably going to fall in it eventually.
Yeah, it's coming up that way, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, look, I wanted to put that forward because we don't seem to be able to do anything progressive here, either political infighting or whatever. Our infrastructure, is showing the age of an old economy because we're not doing these improvements. Our freeway system really sucks. I mean, they're doing a little bit here and there, but our transportation system is very, very poor. Roads are poor, rails are poor. Never going to get a bullet train.
Buses.
And we're certainly going to be a long time before we get to the moon, Peter.
Do you know what? This might sound ridiculous, but I think at every bus stop there should be a little cafe now where we can have a coffee. And someone said, why would you want that? I said, we've got to wait that damn long for a bus to come along.
Yes, yes. Anyway, listen, I have a going back to the English, it just, when talking about the tropical islands, it just reminded me of something. As you know, we've sailed quite a bit, Barbara and I, in the Caribbean.
Yep.
And they have a T-shirt down there. And they might have to change the T-shirt now since England has come up with the healthiest food. But this T-shirt used to say, Peter, because it appealed to all the tourists, and it used to say that in heaven, the English are the police, and the Germans are the mechanics, and the French are the lovers, and the Italians are the cooks, and it's all run by the Swiss. And in that other place that starts with H, which is not so much like heaven, the Germans are the police, and the French are the mechanics, the Swiss are the lovers, the cooks are the English, and it's all run by the Italians. So used to have that T-shirt for people walking around all over, a big souvenir for people to take home. So,
yeah.
So we can no longer have the English being regarded as the poor cooks of Europe. So because obviously their food has been rated more healthily. So anyway.
And we're pleased about that.
Yeah, so anyway, Peter, that's the report on the economy and on the state of the food. So maybe we should talk about wine.
I think that's a good idea. I was wondering when you were going to get around to that. Pardon me.
Well, we're about the only part of the economy that's still left, Peter, but I don't have the statistics, but we know that generally in the world that employment and farming has gone from, you know, most of the employment down to very little of the employment. But when I did look at the actual percentage, Australia is a much lower percentage than you would think, because the percentage of the GDP, make a guess, Peter, what do you think the percentage of Australia's GDP is made up from agriculture?
Gee whiz, I have no idea, but I'd say practically nothing.
You're very close. It's 3%. You would think, because we think of ourselves as a farming nation, you know, like that's the way Australia was built, only 3% contribution to the GDP comes from farming. And that's, I think it's two reasons for that, Peter.
I'm telling you what, we're a great bunch this morning, aren't we?
We are. We're hacking well here. There's two reasons for that. I think it's probably an overestimation in our minds, but also farmers don't get enough money for their produce. You know, I mean, a lot of the produce is controlled by the government, you know, in wheat boards and various other things.
Yes.
Farmers have just got the raw end of the stick all the time. The milk, the big supermarkets won't pay the farmers for the milk. And, you know, meat has become fairly expensive, but I don't know how much the farmer's getting of it. But that's a pretty, pretty small percentage, considering we started out as 100% agrarian society, Peter. It's down now to 3%.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the scary part, but is the service aspect, you know, and it's not just Australia, it's all countries are, you know, up in the 65 to 75% area of GDP in service industries. And that's not just restaurants and cafes here in Australia, that's tourism and all the other things. So we are becoming a service industry. We're all going to be bellboys eventually, Peter, because that's the way the economy's going.
Well, so much for the service industry. I mean, have you ever copped that? Are you right? And I said, no.
Service may leave a little bit. I think it'll get better and better as the entire economy is now a service economy, Peter.
Well, I think some of them need to know how to treat customers and look after them, because the way they're doing it at the moment is quite ridiculous.
It is. But you know what? Service like it's you can't have an economy based on a service industry. Now some countries do; they're 100% tourism and restaurants and whatever, and they get very close to being virtually 100% GDP on service industry. But a country like Australia shouldn't be 70% service industry. And it's just because we've lost our other sectors. It's easier to put up a hotel and bring in tourists, but somebody has to generate real wealth, for a service industry to work. Anyway, we're going to talk about wine, fine organic wine, Peter.
Yes, please.
Yes, mix and match down to a 9-pack, free delivery Australia-wide. And if I don't mention Barb's promotion, she's having Barb's birthday is in 10 days, and she's having her birthday promotion. Everybody's birthday. Yes, if it's your birthday, we're giving a complimentary cheese and olive plate.
Oh, nice.
Come and a bottle of wine. Nice bottle of wine. So,
isn't that lovely?
Yes, if it's your birthday, pop up and visit us. Us anyway, but yet to get a cheese and olive plate, you must book in. You cannot come, and expect a cheese and olive plate because it takes a little time to prepare for it. So
that's right, and Buddy will police that.
Buddy will. Buddy just tore up two egg cartons. That's what the kerfuffle was when we just before we went on the air here. Buddy took the egg cartons off the table outside, and he attacked those. So yeah, no, he's doing fine, Buddy. So. But anyway, so we have this promotion, Peter, and everybody's welcome.
All right, mate. The web address for people to get some glorious organic wine?
Yes, it's cellarwines.com.au, or call us here at the Vineyard. We'd love to see people. And as I said, we've had a lot more calls about groups and people coming in the last week or so and coming in the next week or so. I think the weather is starting to have people think about outdoors, Peter.
I think it's wonderful, mate. Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Jeff from Cellar Wine. That's cellarwines.com.au.